counsel the Lord with you. In week service, Romans chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's just bow our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have read your scriptures tonight, your holy word, and so, Lord, we know that it takes your spirit to break the bread of life to your people. We stand here tonight, Lord, just believing your promises that you said where two or three are gathered, you'd be in our midst. And Lord, so we know that you're here. We know that you have a love and a desire to fellowship with your children. And so we surrender ourselves to you tonight as we speak on your word. We ask, God, that you would lead us and guide us, and let your anointing be the guide for this service tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this, Abraham's Faith. Amen. As I was reading that, there were so many different directions. I just like to take off going there. And you get up here, and the human element has its limitations, and so you just have to wait on the Lord to bring inspiration. And so then Because if you leave it up to yourself, just your mental capacity, then you get nervous and everything else, and you don't know. And so, but we know God is faithful. And so Abraham's faith, you know, so we read the scriptures there, said Abraham believed God. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so maybe go back and lay just a little bit of a foundation here, that God had called Abraham, you know, when, and I'm, this is kind of being kind of adult and doing this, but so that if some of you don't understand or no, haven't seen this before. So every man, when he's born, has extra foreskin, right? And that is a sign of sin. And so when God called Abraham to be the person who would eventually become a nation, who he would eventually bring a Messiah through, when he called Abraham, he said to Abraham, I make a covenant with you. I'm calling you. I've saved you. I've already done it. You're my guy. I'm going to bring these blessings to the earth through you. And so my covenant that I'm giving with you, his words, the scripture told us that Abraham believed what God told him.
Right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit here. But God asked Abraham to enter into this covenant with him. And the covenant, the sign of the covenant, was for Abraham to be circumcised. And so that so the scriptures, when it's referring to the circumcision, it's talking about Abraham's seed and the Jewish nation, because all other nations, what nation would want to do that, right? But it's a sign, because of when you're a Christian, you know, that that's a natural type of scripture. When you become a Christian, God circumcises the fleshly desires of your heart away.
Right.
Right? And so that's what it's a natural type of. And so the scripture here is pointing out that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as in righteousness while he was still yet an uncircumcised being.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're a Jewish person, you know that your whole lineage, they say, well, you know, how could God save anybody unless they're circumcised? Right? That's the whole idea. And what Paul is trying to show us here is that God saves the Gentiles too.
Right?
Right? He saves people who are not circumcised. And he goes back and shows that when God spoke to Abraham and called Abraham, Abraham was an uncircumcised man. And he in that condition, he believed God. And in that condition, righteousness was imputed to him.
Right.
Then he got circumcised as a sign of that covenant of his belief and his agreement with God in the covenant God had brought to him. And so Abraham believed God, and it was counted to righteousness. And so we know that that everything, the cross of Calvary was the greatest thing that ever happened. When Jesus went up Calvary and died for us, because there was no one else that could do it. He was the only one that had untainted. He had clean blood. His life was sinless, and so he could be a sacrifice. And so we know in the Old Testament, when you read in the Old Testament, it talks about Abraham, and it talks about Abraham's failures. It talks about where he failed and where he lied. And how many knows that? It's in the Old Testament where Abraham lied.
Right.
Now, he was still, God had called him and had this covenant, but yet he was doing these things. But when you get to the New Testament, you find no record in the New Testament of Abraham's failures.
Right.
It only speaks of his belief and his righteousness. And what you understand is, because in the Old Testament, all it could do was just kind of shove your sins off for a while, because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin completely, just or take away the desire. But when Jesus came and died, his blood could take away those things. And so, as Brother Biscoe Mills, so many years ago, he talked about it. He said, here's the Old Testament, and it talked about Abraham's failures. Over here in the New Testament, there is no record of it. And right between the Old and New Testament was where Jesus came and died. So as that testimony of Abraham passed through the blood, it took away all the sins, all the failures, and left nothing but a positive testimony through the cross. Yeah. Amen. That's showing us that through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sinful past, as we pass through that blood, we come out, and all God sees is righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I think people need to have a renewed sense of understanding what that means.
Amen.
What it means to have your sins forgiven.
Right?
People used to get happy about that.
That's right.
Yeah? Somehow, I pray, maybe, Lord, do something so everybody again realizes what it means that your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And there's scriptures all over the place to point to these things. One that comes to mind when I was thinking about these things was when Jacob went to bless the sons of Joseph. Joseph had two sons, and the custom was, all the way, the custom was that the firstborn would get the blessing.
Right.
And that firstborn, when the man would lay his hands on the children to bless them, the right hand would go to the older to bless, pass that blessing to that oldest child. And so when Joseph brought these two sons to Jacob, and Jacob was going to reach forth and bless him, Joseph brought the oldest one to the right side, thinking that, you know, because that's the way it would be, and the younger one was over here to the left.
Right.
And when Jacob went to bless him, Jacob did this.
Right.
And he took the blessing that should have went to the firstborn, and he put it upon the next one.
That's right.
Through the cross. And was showing you that the Jewish people, to be God's people, they rejected him.
Right.
Right? They rejected him. And through the cross of Calvary, that blessing that was going to go to them came to us. Right? And also is speaking how that the blessings that God would put upon us in the natural really it goes to our spiritual man.
Yeah.
Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven because it's sinful.
Right.
Right? But so the blessing comes. So it's through the cross. Right, and people need to remember that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It is a bloody gospel.
Right,
right. That means sacrifice,
amen.
And so we talk about it so much, and so we know that the blood of Jesus Christ erases the sins of a believer. But we also know Abraham had failures, and so. So you ask yourself, and we've already talked about it, but how did it get to where in the New Testament all those failures weren't even recorded there? Right? And the reason why is because he believed.
Amen.
He believed God. Right? And his, not his performance, his belief. There was something about the covenant that God had gave him. He believed it. And even though he in times of weakness in the flesh, in times of fear that Pharaoh might kill him for his wife, in times of weakness, God wasn't looking at that.
Right.
God was looking at the fact that in the man's heart he believes this promise, and he is conducting his life according to that he shows he believes the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And so he this testimony winds up over in the New Testament like that because he believed. So what did he believe? Well, it said he believed God, but he didn't. It wasn't that he believed in God. So a lot of people believe in God.
Right.
But do you believe what God has said? Do you believe what God has told you?
Right.
In his word. So Abraham believed what God had said. Well, what was it that God had told him? God had told Abraham, he said, listen, I've chosen you.
Yeah.
You know, we got this idea that we've got to do something in order for God to want us. God chose us before the foundation of the world, even as the scriptures tell us, that before Jacob and Esau was even born,
right?
Because God has foreknowledge. And he said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, because of the way, the action of what was in him. And so, but he said, Abraham, I've chosen you. You're mine. Now, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's Abraham, he's already 75 years old, right, when this happens. And he's lived with his wife, his Sarah, for all those years, and they've had no children. It's like his body's dead, she's dead, her womb is dead, never had a child, and now they're past age. And God tells him and says, guess what? You're mine, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you.
Yeah.
All right? Well, to have a great nation, you got to have a place to have them. You got to have a land. And so God is saying to Abraham, you're mine. Come out away from your land. Leave your family. You already had a family, right? Leave your family. Leave your land. You're going to a place you don't know where it is yet.
Yeah.
And Abraham believed it.
Yeah.
Abraham left his family, went out, not knowing where he was going, just believing the promise.
Mm-hmm.
He believed that God, and here he was, past age. He believed that God was able to do what he promised.
That's right.
Right? And so He left his family, didn't know where he was going, already past age. Him and Sarah hadn't had any children. And if you go out, who was going to give him land? Nobody wants to give up their land, right? I mean, everything about the whole story was a test and a trying against what God had promised him.
Yeah.
And so he'd go out from his father, going out. He was like, who knows where we're going? I'm just going. God said go. And, well, what kind of his little group, how could they stand up against the armed bandits and stuff, the robbers and stuff out in the desert? You know what I'm saying? Everything about it, he had to believe God and walk into uncertain circumstances in the flesh. But he believed that God could do it and keep him. He believed that God would make him that nation. He believed that God would provide him a place that flows with milk and honey and all those things. And so these were all things that were contrary to the promise.
Yeah.
In other words, these were all things that would make it, in essence, make it harder to believe the promise. Right? Mm-hmm. And so if Abraham would have been a young man, well, sure, I'll have children. Yeah. No, he was old.
Right.
Right? And so the whole thing was there. But Abraham believed in spite of all the obstacles that was there. And I hope that you can take your circumstances that you're facing today in life today and try to place yourself there in Abraham's shoes and ask yourself, is the circumstances that stands before you that Satan is trying to use to make you think that you can't be that chosen one of God, that you can't succeed, and that God's not going to do in your life what he said. Take that and look at it, and I ask you, is it bigger than what Abraham had to fight with? No, it's not. It's not any bigger. And so you'll find out here that this is something that God requires from every believer. For us to be children of Abraham, we have to have the faith of Abraham, which means we have to have obstacles and circumstances that says we can't be what God says we're going to be.
Yeah.
And we're going to believe it anyway.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So God tells us, you know, as believers, all the promises there, and as his children of Abraham, having the faith of Abraham, we believe it. So Abraham believed these things and was counted to him for righteousness. That's what made him in right standing before God, because God just says, listen, if you'll just believe my word, I'll take care of the problems.
Right.
Just believe it. Just accept my promises and I'll show you. That's all he's asking. He's not telling us to do anything. Listen, when Pharaoh took Abraham's wife, did Abraham go in there and storm the palace and take her back, or did God do it? God did it.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So he's just saying, believe my word, believe what I promised in this hour, regardless of how many pharaohs rise up against you, whatever, believe him, he'll bring it to pass.
Right.
Amen. And so Abraham believed God, and that was righteous. But Abraham believed God, but there were a lot of times it looked like he didn't. Right? Because when he went down there to Egypt, he said he was afraid. He was afraid that they would kill him and take his wife. And so he lied and said, she's my sister. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And God had to rescue him. Mm-hmm. And God did rescue him. Mm-hmm. Why? We've got this idea. Well, you're done for, Abraham. You lied. There's no way God will help you now. Mm-hmm. The predestination of God goes beyond any of those things.
Right.
Right? Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen? Or we'd all be washed up, right? Thank God for his calling and drawing power.
Yeah.
And so he lied about his wife. He took Hagar, an Egyptian, to be wife to raise child because thought maybe Sarah couldn't do it. Lied about his wife again when he went down to Abimelech's. Again, happened again, said, that's my sister.
Yeah.
God had to intervene,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, just think about that. Put yourself in those shoes. If Brother Bram said what God did to Abraham, he does to Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll cover that just a little deeper when I get there, just a little bit. What God did with Abraham, he does to his seed after him.
Right.
That's us. If we believe, if we have faith, and the promises of God in the face of all obstacles, we are the seed of Abraham. Amen. And so, he made all those mistakes, but somehow, in all those mistakes, he was still righteous before God. That's hard. I mean, from the way that the church world has taught things, it's kind of hard to comprehend that. But this is what the Bible is telling us. Somehow, even though when he was lying there about his wife, or when he took Hagar, you know, and had Ishmael, that wild man, and all the things that come from all that, yet he was still in God's economy, he was righteous. Amen.
That's right.
And so, God was not looking at Abraham's outward man and his failures. What was God looking at? God was looking at the faith in his heart.
Right.
God was looking at who he was inside,
right,
not the failures. Just like we read there in the scriptures where David said, blessed is the man that God will not impute sin. Mm-hmm. Right? And so... So God was looking at what Abraham was down inside, and down inside he was a son of God, and the outward he was a fallen man, in the outward flesh. So you know God couldn't be looking at that. So God can't be looking at that with you. If you believe his promise, and I'll tell you, as a Christian, every day we get up and we're thinking about the promises of God.
Right.
We're thinking about what he has told us that we can be. Not just here in this, not just afterlife, but even here now, that he's told us we can be overcomers, that we can pray for the sick, we can ask him for things, and he can supernaturally. It's all the time. We think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Why? Because we believe.
Amen.
Right? We make plenty of mistakes. We fall short under pressures. We make mistakes just like Abraham made mistakes under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that come along. Did you know, thank God for a prophet. A prophet come along and told us, said, look, you can be insane,
mm-hmm,
and still be saved.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Because that's not your soul. Right? That's who the soul is, who you really are. But Satan can get wrapped up in your head and cause people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thank God for the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide asunder the difference between joints and marrow and spirit and soul.
Yeah.
It knows the difference between what a man really is down in his soul versus what he is in his spirit or what he is in his flesh. And it's only now that we understand that. Thank God for that. So, God wasn't looking at Abraham's outward man. He was looking at his inward faith to believe. And so God just kept bringing that promise, kept bringing it all the way to the end. And of course, Abraham, we know he was tested there at the end once the promise was there. It's all a part of God's program. He'll do us the same way.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, man looks on the outside. And that was another thing that God had to bring truth to us today through this end time ministry, to explain to us the difference there. That, you know, the book of James, when he's talking about that, about showing works and faith and so forth. And Brother M preaches a sermon, Works is Faith Expressed. And he explains there that what James was talking about is what man sees. Man looks and says, well, I got to see you do something or else you don't have faith.
Right.
But what did the scripture say about Abraham? He believed God. It was accounted for righteousness. And then things happened afterwards because of that.
Yeah.
Right.
But nowadays we look and say, well, you got to quit doing this. You got to quit doing that. I just was hearing Brother Brandon the last couple of days. He was talking about this. That he said, we tell people, well, you got to quit doing this and quit doing that and quit doing something else, quit drinking, quit smoking. All. He said, no, tell them what they got to do. Not what
right.
they not that what they need to quit doing,
right.
but tell them what they do. Believe. Because
right.
if you'll believe, God will get involved in your life and he'll take away those things that aren't right.
Right.
But you got to believe first. And so religion gets it all wrapped around. So, well, if I do all the right things and I dress right and I look right, and then I'm a Christian. And it can be lost that way. You're a Christian when God changes your heart inside till he comes in and he begins to live inside. And then the outward will follow that.
Right?
Right? We understand that. And so God is looking at it. And so, you know, he said, works is faith expressed. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. God looks in there. He even said that whenever Samuel went to anoint a king out of Jesse's sons. and said, hey, I'm here to anoint one of your sons to be king. And Jesse goes and gets his oldest, you know, some great big fellow. Surely this is the one that God wants to be king, this big, handsome, and brings him before the prophet. And the prophet says, no, it ain't him. God said, I don't look on the outward like man does. I look on the heart. Jesse brought all of his sons there, except for the last one, which was David, little bitty ruddy fella.
Yeah.
And nope, God won't anoint any of them. So the prophet said to Jesse, well, you got any other ones? Well, yeah, there's one more. One more son. He's out there taking care of the sheep. Brings David, comes, walks up there, and the prophet runs up there and anoints him. Because of what David was in his heart.
Right.
Not what he looked like on the outside. He had the heart of a shepherd.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, yes, works is faith expressed, but faith's got to be there first.
Right.
To pull, you know, that's why the scripture said the signs and wonders follow
right. The
believer.
That's right.
Get the belief, get the dynamics of that belief working in your and you will see those things.
Amen.
Right? Amen. But so many people want things like that without a real experience with God. And so when we are Abraham's seeds, as I said a while ago, then we have the faith of Abraham. We believe. And that means that what God has said about us, God has said he's chosen us. God has told us. He told Abraham, I've chosen you, right? And you and your children is going to be mine.
Yep.
Hasn't he told us the same thing?
Right?
But circumstances rear up and try to make it look like it can't be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so he tells Abraham, you know, you and your children, and by the way, he says, I've got a land for you. I've got a place for you to go be.
Yeah.
Hasn't he told us the same?
Right.
He's gone to prepare a place.
Yeah.
Same thing. Right? We can't see it yet. Abraham couldn't see it yet. He just was going believing. He was looking.
That's right.
Right? And here we are. We're around here. We're walking around. We believe that there's a realm that he's gone to prepare for us. And we believe that we are his people and our offspring will be there with us. And he's going to have a place for us that spiritually flows with milk and honey. And it's no difference.
Yeah.
To believe that in the face of all this stuff, all this rock and roll and half-dressed this and filth and jokes and dirty stuff, that all this stuff the world is, and all that there, they've just fighting left and right to try and take every one of our children and all of our, you understand? That's what they're wanting to do.
Yeah.
Right? In the face of all that, and every bit of that says there ain't no way. There's no way that you can be God's people and your family can be saved and you're going to go in a rapture. Isn't that what this whole world declares?
Sure.
That's right. So we're in the same boat Abraham was in.
Yeah.
No difference. We're in the same boat. And because we believe, it's imputed to us as righteousness.
Right.
Because we believe God's promise. Has nothing to do with how well you're complying with whatever.
Right.
If you believe it and you keep walking with God, he's going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Right? I don't care what Pharaoh says. He's going to bring it to pass. And we are so thankful to know that he's doing that. If I would be very disappointed if I thought it was up to me.
Right.
Right? And so we're thankful that God has done the things that he has. Same thing that God told Abraham, he's telling us.
Yeah.
Amen. All of these things that we deal with in Satan's evil is contrary to the promise of God in our lives. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But we as Abraham, we continue to believe. We keep pressing on.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh comes at us, you might have a situation in your life where it looks like everything's over.
Yeah.
Just keep believing.
Amen.
And God will destroy Pharaoh's kingdom if he has to. He'll get you right back and we go through cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh, you know, Hagar, whatever, Abimelech, we have cycles, but if you stay with God's word, he's going to take you through every one of those, no matter what comes along, no matter how long. Abraham, that was another thing, 25 years he waited. We don't want to wait 5 minutes.
Right.
But he waited 20. And brother, sister, it's been more than 25 years. I'm believing this word. Right?
Amen.
I'm still looking for it. And guess what? Every day I get up and there's something here that says, uh-uh. But the promise says, uh-huh.
Right.
Right? And so we just keep believing. Keep pushing. Keep believing. And so what if Abraham would have stopped believing? We wouldn't have the gospel today. We wouldn't have had a Savior. Right? Because that whole thing started, the whole thing of a nation that God could deal with, that he could bring forth a Messiah through everything that unfolded in that nation.
Yeah.
And if Abraham wouldn't have believed, there wouldn't be no type. We wouldn't be the children of Abraham. But he kept believing.
Yeah.
He kept believing. And because he kept believing, and that whole thing brought Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say this, that if you keep believing, it'll bring Christ.
Right.
It'll bring the Lord Jesus right into your life, time after time after time after time. If you'll just keep believing the word.
Amen.
Just analyze that and look at it. You know God has promised you these things, but you know everything else is trying to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, I'm a child of Abraham.
Yeah.
And God's going to bring me through this just like he did Abraham.
Amen.
Amen. We believe that. It always will bring the Lord Jesus if we stay with his word. And so, as the prophet said, I mentioned a while ago that God brings what God did for Abraham, he did for Abraham's seed. And I've preached on this many times. You probably remember it. And if you look at Abraham's life, Abraham went through justification. He went through a period where God, where his life was in typology, was through justification. He went through sanctification. He went through baptism with the Holy Spirit. And then after that, an angel appeared to him, which was God in flesh, and discerned the thoughts of Sarah's heart. Right? And then the promised son. In all those stages, God has brought the New Testament church through that. Luther, the justification. Wesley, sanctification. Through the Pentecostal movement in 1906. Then a prophet came on the scene with discernment, showing that God was on the platform alive. Right? The next thing is the promised son.
Yep.
Right? Brother Brim said, we can't receive that promised son in these bodies. Right? So you can see that you know right where we are. You know where we are in history of God unfolding his word. We are right here where the next thing to happen, right, is the coming of that promised son, which is a promise body change for us.
Yeah.
And God has shown it through history. He shows it in his Bible. He showed it in the life of Abraham. And here we are as Abraham's seed. We can see that we're facing the same challenges that he was, just in our own way in our day. But it's the same thing. Satan challenging us for the promise of God that he promised he would do in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're no different than Abraham. Abraham was just going along, and one day God spoke to him. And you know what? That's what happened to us. Not one of us said, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to go. I'm going to start going over here, and I'm going to believe. God got into our lives.
Amen.
That's what made the difference. And I'll tell you, God's sovereign, okay? God is sovereign, and I'll say it this way. You know, and I'm not trying to exclude anybody or say anything. I'm just trying to get a point across. But for these children right here, let's say this. What if your parents didn't believe this message? See, it's through them that God has brought it to you. Right? Maybe it's through me that brought it to my wife. You see what I'm saying? It's God uses however he wants, but the fact is that he brought it to you through a channel that was a gift from him to bring that to you. And so now here you are in this last day as believers, knowing that God has called you. Amen. How thankful we are.
Amen.
Amen. If we believe, like Abraham believed, then it is imputed to us as righteousness too.
Amen.
Just hopefully just a little small nugget to look at. Consider that the Lord is working in your life. No different than he was with Abraham. Amen. We believe that. trouble us to deal with up here.
Amen. Let's bow our hearts to you. Lord, how thankful we are for these truths out of your scriptures, Lord. How that you, in this day, you're showing us, Lord, who we are. All through history, bringing a prophet on the scene to show that you're standing here, discerning the thoughts that are in the heart. And Lord, I remember how your prophet was talking, how that when Sarah doubted, that's us, we've doubted. Your church has doubted it. But she doubted and wondered how that she could bring forth. And there the story where she said that and laughed about it and said, how could that be? How could I bring forth a child? And Lord, you were there and you would discern that and said, why did Sarah laugh? Your prophet said that you could have destroyed her then because of her unbelief and laughing about that, but he said that you couldn't destroy her because she was part of Abraham. And we bring that to this day, Lord, knowing that we've had many mistakes, many times maybe we've doubted your word, but because you walked up Calvary and you paid a price for us and you are our husband, we are your bride, Lord, then you're here to keep us and nothing can happen to us because we belong to you. We see those things like that in the scripture, Lord, and we just pray that you just help us to always remember those things. No matter what happens, just to know that this word is right and we are a people, and you have a people here on this earth that right now that's acting out these things. We love you, Lord, and ask for your blessings upon each one to ponder on these things. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You love him?
Spirit.